Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. Today we speak with Penny Pierce. She's an intuitive, a gifted empath, and the author of Frequency, The Power of Personal Vibration. But first, let's look at some of the stories in other news. Here's one by Muriel Kane. Members of Congress profit from stock trades in companies affected by their legislation. This came out on 60 Minutes a while back, but I'm glad it just didn't go down the memory hole and people are updating the story. An analysis by the Washington Post has determined that between 2007 and 2010, 130 members of Congress or their families engaged in hundreds of millions of dollars of transactions involving stock in companies that were lobbying before their committees. This practice is neither illegal nor forbidden by congressional ethic rules, which allows members to act in ways that benefit themselves as long as they're not the sole beneficiaries. The paper's researchers examined all 45,000 congressional stock transactions revealed in financial disclosures over the four-year period and found that almost one out of every eight involved companies affected by bills that were before either Congress as a whole or lawmakers' committees at the time. Slightly more Democrats and Republicans took part in such behavior, 68 compared to 62. But the glaring examples cited by the Post featured Republicans. According to the paper, Senator Tom Coburn reported buying $25,000 in bonds in a genetic technology company around the time that he released a hold on legislation the firm supported. Representative Ed Whitfield from Kentucky sold between $50,000 to $100,000 in General Electric stock shortly before a Republican filibuster killed legislation sought by the company. The family of Representative Michael McCaul in Texas bought between $286,000 and $690,000 in a high-tech company interested in a bill under his committee's jurisdiction. Lawmakers contacted by the Post defended themselves by saying the transactions were coincidental or were handled by brokers or by their wives without their knowledge. However, the former ethics lawyer for President George W. Bush, Richard Painter, said that that was not a sufficient answer and that members of Congress should set up blind trusts if they want to retain public credibility. Quote, people who are taking actions for venal and nefarious purposes might make the same argument you're making about your innocence. Quote, that's why if there is an appearance of an impropriety, there just might be an impropriety. Members need to bend over backwards to show they are there for the good of the country. Muriel Kane wrote this story. She's an associate editor at The Ross Story. Also, 60 Minutes did this story, exposed this story a while back as well. Here's another story by Paul Joseph Watson. Whistleblower reveals plan to evacuate London during Olympics. An undercover journalist going by the pseudonym Lee Hazeldine has blown the whistle on astounding revelations about how he infiltrated the G4S, the company responsible for security at London Olympics, and discovered shocking plans for the evacuation of London, 200,000 casket linings being on standby, along with botched security procedures that leave the games wide open to attack. Hazeldine is an undercover journalist for a television program in London and has worked with news agencies on hard-hitting subjects. But when he approached the mainstream media with his bombshell story, they showed no interest. And the story continues. In the interview, Hazeldine divulges how he merely had to fill in an application form to get a job with G4S, the private company providing security for the Olympics, that he underwent no background check whatsoever, and that his personal references were not checked. Employees are given just 2 days of training to run airport-style security checkpoints, which include body scanners, which Hazeldine said would be turned off completely at peak times, meaning terrorists could just walk straight into the event with ammunition or explosives and have an excellent chance of remaining undetected. As many listeners who have been paying attention to the 2012 Olympics, it's going to be chock full of occult symbolism, very similar, in fact, to the Super Bowl ritual ceremonies. At some point, I want to have Matthew Deluz back on to discuss this. He's going through a little bit of hardship right now. Want to send him some positive energy. He's one of the best researchers on this topic, and his material is stolen on the web. I mean, people just lift his research and take it. Matthew Deluz's research is very, very important to decode a lot of this material. Here's another story. Witnesses tell of horrific Christchurch CTV building collapse. quote, like 9/11, by Joel Daly and Michael Wright. This is in New Zealand. A man who was attending relationship sessions on the sixth floor of the CTV building. Eyewitness accounts of the building's collapse were being heard by the Canterbury Earthquakes Royal Commission today. Dane Bainbridge's evidence was read to the Royal Commission. In his statement, Bainbridge, a former builder, said he visited the building three times to attend sessions with his wife, Leanne. On his second and third visits on February 2nd and 16th, 2011, he noticed damage, quote, which concerned me. When walking out of the lift on level 6 on the third visit, he noticed the internal column in the foyer had at least three large cracks and another hairline crack. These ran all around the column, he said. There were also flakes of concrete the size of a 50-cent coin around the bottom of the column. He could also see water damage around the top of the column. It looked like the column had performed to its capacity in the previous earthquakes, but would fail in any further events, he said. Bainbridge noticed an exterior spandrel on the outside of the building between levels 5 and 6 and was chipped, damaged, and was not in line with the building. Here's some witness quotes. When he arrived, the fire was already smoldering and he could see smoke. At that stage, it was localized to the lift shaft area. Eventually, flames became visible, and indicating the fire was burning underneath. He estimated a third of the building was smoldering. The masonry blocks he had been working on had completely disintegrated. It looked like the building had fallen into a hole. Penelope Spencer had described how pillars on the CTV exploded about 10 seconds after the earthquake. Watching the CTV building collapse was exactly like seeing the collapse of the World Trade Center buildings, an eyewitness said. The top floated down and was engulfed by dust, he said. He did not see pillars collapse. Rather, he described the collapse as if the building was sinking into a black hole. Now, those listeners who are familiar with the work of Dr. Judy Wood would find this rather interesting. Several things happen at once. Whether this is in war, where conventional weaponry is used to pound a particular area, but at the same time, directed energy weaponry is used. It's invisible. You're feeling the ground shake, things start to disintegrate and collapse. You're not thinking directed energy weapon. Same with natural disasters. You're putting the destruction in context with an earthquake, hurricane, or things like that. But what's being hinted at here is at the same time these natural disasters occur, directed energy weapons are being used. Here's a story, CBS News. Grass linked to Texas cattle deaths. A mysterious mass death of a herd of cattle has prompted a federal investigation in central Texas. Preliminary test results are blaming the death on the grass the cows were eating when they got sick, reports CBS station KEYE. The cows dropped dead several weeks ago on the 80-acre ranch owned by Jerry Abel in Elgin, just east of Austin. Particular type of grass, it's got a lot of leaf, it's tested high for protein. It's a hybrid form of Bermuda known as Tifton 85. Whenever there is a number in the name of a plant, watch out. When we opened that gate to the fresh grass, they were all anxious to get to that. 3 weeks ago, the cattle had just been turned out to enjoy the fresh grass when something went wrong. Preliminary tests revealed Tifton 85 grass, which has been here for years, had suddenly started producing cyanide gas, poisoning the cattle. The hybrid grass began to produce cyanide. There's a correction in the story. An originally published version of the story referred to Tifton 85 grass as a genetically modified product, which is incorrect. It's actually a hybrid of Bermuda grass. As many listeners know, our reality is a vibration. The frequency of that vibration is essentially decoded by our minds, as our eyes detect but a sliver within the visible spectrum. Our minds, however, do play an active role in changing our personal frequency, according to author Penny Pierce. Her book, Frequency, The Power of Personal Vibration, can show you how to find your home frequency, the personal vibration that emanates from the soul. Remember Dr. Paul's boundary science models? It's very similar as we begin to be aware of our personal frequency, our interaction with reality begins to shift. We're joined today by author Penny Pierce, a gifted intuitive, empath, with deep psychological understanding, visionary ability, and a business sense. She's one of the early pioneers in the intuition development movement since the mid-70s. Welcome to Another News, Penny.
Thank you so much.
Well, I really appreciate you doing this. Well, let me just get right into it. Your book is called Frequency. Can you describe what you mean by frequency in terms of the human body?
Well, you know, the premise of the book really is that everything vibrates, you know, and we're moving into a time where, because there's an acceleration of energy on the planet, and actually the frequency or vibration of the planet is getting faster and rising, which also means that our bodies, which are part of the planet, are accelerating, and our frequency's rising too. So we're starting to see everything much more in terms of energy. Whereas before, you know, when the frequency was much lower, we thought we were solid bodies separated by empty space. You know, and so now it's like things are starting to feel interconnected. We've got our bodies are vibrating, but so is the air in between us, you know. So there's this more of a continuum, like a unified field of energy. And we're really starting to change the way we see reality because of this. So that's what my book is about. It's like about, you know, how to work with energy, how to work with the vibration of your own body, because it really is instrumental in creating your reality and shifting your reality.
Well, we know from past guests on this show that the Earth's changes, energy changes, are measurable, and that's going on. Mm-hmm. The air, is that from the planet or is that from the sun? The air, you said the air is changing also, or energized.
Well, I think it's made out of, you know, elements that come from the earth, and certainly the sun has a lot of influence on energizing everything here. I think it's incredibly important, and especially important as we make a transition. And I've been calling it a change from the information age to the intuition age. You know, we've moved from the industrial age to the information age, and now we're about at this point where we can't process information any faster.
Oh, that's, wow, that's really interesting.
You know, and so we've gone from sort of like body, which is industrial age and very physical, mechanical processes that sped up, and we got computers, you know, at the end of the industrial age, which jumped us into the information age, which went faster and faster and faster. And then the internet came about, and everything got even faster, until really there's so much access to information that we can't, you know, really literally can't absorb it and process it all in that old linear way.
And so, the NSA can't even process all that information.
So I think so.
What will the intuition age be like?
Well, the next leap, which is happening now, I believe, it has to do with moving, I think, really out of the left brain into the right brain, and then from there into the heart, which is has neurons in it. You know, it has been found to have brain cells in the heart itself. And then into the cells and the unified field, or the personal field or aura.
Penny, can we go back to the heart for a second?
Yeah.
I'm not really familiar with that, and I'm not sure if listeners really know the background of that information. Can you go into a little bit more detail?
Well, there's some great information from Joseph Chilton Pierce, if you've ever seen his book, Evolution's End and The Biology of Transcendence. He's got some great stuff in there. But basically, they have discovered that there are neurons in the heart tissue that are very similar to the ones in the brain, and that in some ways, then, the heart is like a brain. It is a brain. And those same kind of I don't know what you call it, dendrites or whatever they are actually found scattered throughout the body as well, in little tiny centers, little scattered, you know, tiny brains all throughout the body. So there's this sense of the brain itself becoming very much more non-localized, you know, like spread everywhere throughout the whole body, not just up in the head, but everywhere. And then once you get that idea and you start realizing the whole body is conscious and that the cells themselves are conscious, then you start realizing that the aura or the field around the body is also very conscious.
The field?
The field is the unified field. It is the field of consciousness, of oneness, of consciousness and energy.
You're talking about the human aura that can be seen through Kirlian?
Sure.
Okay.
And, you know, and I think it's a kind of a slight misunderstanding to think that the body radiates the aura, because really the body coalesces out of the aura. If the aura is the field, is really the soul coming down in frequency from very high levels and, you know, subsequently layer by layer materializing, you know, a pattern of consciousness that gets denser and denser. And eventually the physical body materializes out of the etheric body and out of the emotional body and out of the mental body. You know, so, you know, we're the result of our field rather than the other way around.
Oh, that, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then when you start thinking of the field as your soul or as the collective consciousness of all souls, you know, then, you know, you don't hold your identity just in your body as a separate, isolated little individual self. And when you stop doing that and you start feeling interconnected with everything, then morality changes, our perception changes, and literally, the way reality functions is going to change.
And this material is in your book, Frequency, The Power of Personal Vibration?
Yes, yes. That's the first one. I'm working on a second book now, or it's actually a third book. The first book I had was called The Intuitive Way, mm-hmm. which is a course on intuition development. And then Frequency is kind of the second, and this new one will be about perception itself. And it's kind of the third in a trilogy.
You know, Penny, I had somebody ask me before the show, what's an intuitive? And could you tell listeners what that is?
Well, I differentiate it between being a psychic and an intuitive, because to me, psychics are often aimed toward getting specific answers, like you will meet a tall, dark, handsome stranger or something, you know, whose name is Joe. And I think intuitives go deeper. They're looking at the process of your growth. Why would you need to meet somebody, or when would you naturally meet someone, and who would you need to have as a partner, and it's process-oriented.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
Okay,
rather I got
than
it.
Factual.
Oh, okay, thank
and
you.
And then within the process, describing the process, then details come about that are actually fairly accurate, but I think they're more accurate often sometimes than the way psychics work. I've often found psychics to tell me you're going to... I had somebody tell me once that I was going to meet a man with large earlobes. And it was like, it just ruined me for several years. You know, you're projecting these weird thoughts onto your future.
Very good point. Very, you know? Yes, absolutely. Penny, we're halfway through 2012. I've read some of your blog. Is it pennypierce.com? Is that it?
That's my website, and you can get to my blog through the website. It's right there at the top of the page.
And you were talking about how people are beginning to feel that change. The changes that are occurring this year are not necessarily manifesting in a positive way through people. They don't look positive at first. You pointed out that sometimes it's also negative.
Well, I really differentiate between, I think, what most people think of as positive and negative, because I think that part of this transformation process we're in is that we have to clear the clutter, and that is all the old beliefs, the shoulds, the things we inherited from other people that are not really true or not really in alignment with the way energy and consciousness function naturally according to universal laws. So I think that the clearing of fear is a very positive thing, although when it starts coming up, it's scary. But to me, it is absolutely necessary to get rid of the contractions that we hold within ourselves so that I think this year in particular is a very intense energy, which is, I think it's very much about freedom. It's about breaking through the last remnants of places where you've been mired and stuck so that you can step through the doorway. I mean, I hear most of my clients, everybody who I talk to says, well, I just feel stuck. And they know something's coming. It's just right there lurking behind the scenes, but they can't quite tell what it is yet. And there needs to be a time where you get out of your left brain and the need for definition and move into the right brain, which is, there's no language in the right brain. It's all like an animal, you know, you're artistic, you're merging with the flows of energy, you're letting things gestate in you, and you're not trying to define things too early, you're letting it have its own natural flow and rhythm, and you kind of have to, you know, gestate things in a very, you know, noodle around with things and let it have its own flow. And that's where a lot of people are right now, in the shifting from one way of defining life into a new way, you know, that they haven't discovered yet. It has to show itself to us. And so it is a time for having a lot of courage, you know, to not have to go back into the old definitions. You know what I mean?
I think I do, and I wanted to also ask you, can you explain how courage is related to the heart?
Well, the heart, I feel like, is really, truly the experience of the soul in the body, and it is a place of reality, a place of almost like a meeting place for the inner world and the outer world to come together, you know, and the word courage comes from the French word cœur, you know, which means heart. And so I think courage often has to do with just coming from your heart, and that often means radical honesty. You know, you do what you feel like you must do. You face it, you go into it, you know, and the heart is an amazing thing, really. It's not a mushy-gushy emotional thing. It's a place of neutrality where I always think of the heart as something that kind of eats pain. It doesn't understand pain. So if you move pain into the heart, it dissolves and turns into love. It just goes back into the unified field. So it is not really damaged by pain. You know, and we don't understand it very well.
I appreciate you explaining it on that level, because a lot of this material I haven't really heard before. Radical Honesty, I have. And that's a book.
Probably.
it's a really interesting book. The other element I'm interested in that you have researched in depth and is listening to, I guess, that voice of intuition within you. And have you been able to really understand what that voice is? I mean, there are many voices, I suppose, happening in people's conscious state. Mm-hmm. But is there a voice that is more down toward where the heart is that people listen to?
Well, I think it often comes really directly from the body and the instinct. Like the first level of intuition might be called instinct and might relate to the reptile brain, you know, where you have sort of attraction and repulsion, that sense of something's really right or it's not quite right or it's dangerous, or, you know, you have signals in your body that where you lean towards something or you open up or energy bubbles up or you get chills, and people say, oh, that's true because I got chills, you know, on that. Or you feel a warm, spreading feeling or something. Often it's the signal of energy releasing, moving up the spine and out the arms and spreading across the chest, and you get warmer and you feel safe. When you get a feeling like that, it's almost like the soul is talking to you and it's saying, yes, this is in tune with you. But when you get a signal where you contract, feel cold, clammy, your hands, you withdraw energy from your hands and feet and they get cold, you know, or you you feel like somebody threw a wet blanket on top of you. Mm-hmm. You know, those things, or you get that knot in the pit of your stomach, in your solar plexus, then you know something's not right. And it's not appropriate at that point to power through and make yourself do it anyway, because it's probably not going to work out. You know, if you don't listen to that, you know, it'll just get stronger, and you'll get whacked from it, you know, from not listening. So, I mean, I start there with very subtle signals in the body itself. And then sometimes I get information through the senses. You know, I'll smell something. It smells fishy, it tastes fishy, or, you know, you get those sensory inputs. You know, something looks bright or something looks dark. It's not that it literally does, but you get that sense about it.
Oh, there's a muscle test too, right?
Well, you could do that, kinesiology, yeah.
Not everybody can do that, I understand. I mean, for example, you are ultra-sensitive, and for those who aren't, it's a little more difficult to tune in.
But I think if you ask yourself a question, like, for instance, if I have a problem and I have a solution, possible solution number A and number B and number C, I could do any of three ways. And you pretend that number one is a smell, and you just see what smell you get. Then you check number two, and you see what smell you get. And you check number three. What happens is you often will get immediate responses, and then you can tell one of them you like better than the others. It's not logical. It's not in your left brain. Or you could pretend it's a sound or music or a texture. You know, any of the senses can serve as a kind of barometer for you.
I might be wrong, but I understand that women are much better at this than men.
No, not true. I think the difference is that men's brains literally don't have as many connecting fibers between the two sides of the brain. Women have a harder time compartmentalizing. Everything happens at once. The inside, the outside's all connected. But with men, often there needs to be a deliberate choice to shift the level of the brain. And when you shift into the right brain more and get out of the compartmentalization and the language side, men are just as intuitive.
So men have to make the conscious decision to do that.
Right.
Penny, we're coming down to the bottom of the hour, and we're going to open up the phone lines. Our guest is Penny Pierce. She's the author of Frequency, The Power of Personal Vibration. We're going to open the phone lines for your comments and questions. You can call us at 212-209-2900, and we'll be right back after this break.
Boats go sailing.
You're listening to In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Our guest is Penny Pierce. She's the author of Frequency, The Power of Personal Vibration. We're going to go to the first call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hello?
Go ahead, caller.
Oh, thank you. I have two questions. The first is an expression I have heard several times on this show. Etheric energy. What is that?
As far as I understand it, etheric energy is the kind of an energy that's just beyond the physical body. Sometimes I call it the inner energy blueprint. You know, it's kind of an impressionable energy. Maybe it's a kind of combination of consciousness with emotion added to it, electromagnetic energy maybe. But it seems to be like form seems to drop out of that. It's kind of like a blueprint.
Is it recognizable when either it's happening or about to happen to someone, or what? Is it identifiable in any way?
I think that you might be able to at some point see it if you were clairvoyant, more like an aura, you know?
No, I don't. Okay, next question. You spoke about contractions of the body. Can you identify some of those contraction?
Yeah, I mean, a contraction basically is based on some kind of fear and a thought or emotion that's also based on fear. It could be a self-criticism, or it could be I'm not good enough to be able to do that, or I'll just wait till I know more, or you know, no one loves me, or you know, any of those kinds of thoughts about what isn't and what you don't have or who you aren't. You know, and those things contract the flow of energy through your system.
That makes more sense than the etheric explanation. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We're going to go to the next call. Hi, you're on the air.
Is that me?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you for In Other News, because you really bring some great shows to light. And Penny Pierce, it's so wonderful to hear your voice. I read your book, The Intuitive Way, many years ago.
Oh, great. That's fabulous.
I love this book. I grabbed it out of the bookshelf and put it on this next to the couch with me. I love your book. I'm realizing now that you have a new book. And I just came in from walking a dog, so I'm getting like the last 15 minutes. It's very interesting, of course. I just really called in to say thank you so much for your work, and I definitely will be getting the new book, and I'll just continue to listen so I can garner as much as I can. I love your work.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Okay, good night.
Wonderful. Thank you for that call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Go ahead.
This is very, very interesting, and it's so true that, you know, you do feel a speeding up, and it's like things happen much faster. The days seem like just, you know, sometimes minutes.
That's
but
right.
One of the things I want to ask is while the vibration is going so fast and the frequency is changing, you do get a sense of sort of like veils are being removed, and you kind of see things. It's almost like you clear up. You know, you was like a 60-watt bulb, and it's now like a 70-watt. It's just sometimes, just looking out, it just seems clearer. And the thing I want to ask, though, will this illusion of race, once the frequency changes, that some are less or some are more, this illusion that we've been given, that we've used very badly and very, you know, just illusionary thing, will that eventually truly lift and show that the chain, everybody's connected to the chain, and any part of the chain is connected to the other? Do you think that would be lifted? And thank you so much. I take the answer off the air.
Okay. Well, I love what you're saying about getting clearer, because it is really true that as your frequency increases and that clutter falls away, or the contractions fall away, you start to get really accurate insights and intuitions about what's going on, and you feel and see yourself much more accurately and who you actually are. And, you know, you get memory back of who you really are. And then the more you do that, the more you see how you belong in a collective consciousness. Now, maybe in the beginning it's kind of a soul group or a spiritual family, but then that grows and you connect with more people and more people and you have more commonality with them. And so I think the thing about race or any sort of divisions and separations between people is just going to be a thing of the past. It's going to be much more about frequency. It won't matter what color you are or what nationality you are. If you share a similar vibration and frequency match with other people, you'll be in the same soul group, you know. So it's going to be much, much more about energy now than any kind of form.
Hmm. Penny, that's really fascinating. So the collective will be feeling the same thing as an individual person?
That's right. Yeah, you'll feel like I am me, I'm my body and personality. You're not going to lose that, and because it's still important to channel all that higher energy through yourself and make creations here in the world. But at the same time, you'll also feel I am us, you know, and that us can be a small group, a large group, a huge group. You know, it could be all of humanity, and we'll be able to feel that we belong, that we're not separate and isolated. And when you don't feel isolated, you don't feel scared. And, you know, when we remove fear, my gosh, what's going to happen in our consciousness? It'll be amazing, you know, because we'll start collaborating on things and contributing to each other and supporting each other. And the golden rule will actually be an experience that we all have, not something we have to make ourselves do. You know, we won't want to mistreat each other because we'll know it hurts us. And then inventions will come through because everybody will have a piece of the puzzle and they'll contribute it. And this is already starting to happen on, like, Facebook and on some of the social networking things, you know.
Oh, indeed. It certainly is. We're going to go to another call. Hi, you're on the air with Penny Pierce.
Yeah, good evening. How are you doing?
Good.
Basically, Ms. Terse, it is? Your last name?
Uh-huh. Period.
Yeah, how are you?
Good.
Good. I'm glad to hear. Basically, I had two questions. Number one, how can you differentiate between what you call intuition as opposed to just personal knowledge and experience and observation based on what you've been through in your life as far as translating into a gut reaction from left brain to right brain, number one? And number two, as far as I understand the concept of vibration as it refers to quantum mechanics and string theory, but how can you tune in to your own vibrational energy when others around you don't believe in that or you yourself really don't totally fully believe as far as your mind is concerned? You can have a physical tuning into some type of higher vibrational state. If there's negative energy around you, how can you compensate for that through your own personal power?
Boy, those are fantastic questions. Thank you. The first one, basically, I think that, you know, everything that you've learned in your life that goes into your memory banks and you know, makes you who you are, that's just, you know, something you have to draw from. But if you're really truly in the present moment, and a situation arises and you need to decide about it, you have to feel it. You don't go back necessarily into your left brain and review everything from the past, because the past may not be at all like what's going on right now. So to react and go into the past to try to figure out what to do about the present is kind of, I think, a bit of a mistake. You stay in the present moment. You move more into your right brain, you let your body feel things deeply, and then you allow something to just surface, like, you know, just to pop up in, like those little magic eight balls you shake up, you know, and you turn it over and it says, ask again later or whatever, you know, the answer pops up.
Well, a person such as myself, based on training, I've been trained in different disciplines, and it's difficult to differentiate between what is a right brain or a gut feeling or some type of intuition as opposed to just training, reacting.
What you have to do is trust I call it your noticings, the things you notice and what feels just right. It's about feeling, not about figuring it out with the left brain. So in each moment, you drop in and you feel what gives you a sense of deep pleasure, deep comfort, excitement, makes you feel alive and makes you feel what I call your home frequency. And I haven't talked about that yet, but I differentiate between personal vibration and home frequency. Because, and this kind of relates to what you were saying, is that personal vibration is the way you're feeling in any given moment. And that vibration could be that you matched someone in around you. And we do that. We're like tuning forks. You know, we get around somebody in a bad mood, and if we're not really conscious, we lower our vibration and match them. And then we feel awful. Or vice versa. You get around somebody who's happy, and you'll feel better.
Well, how can you control your own vibrational state?
Well, one, it has to do with when you match other people, you're looking to the outside world for who you are. Your home frequency is that feeling that inside of you, like your heart, it's like the light in a baby's eyes. It's always there. It's that natural joy that you see in a person when they're not being guarded, when they're having fun, when they're happy with themselves. That is your core vibration, and it never goes away. It's eternal. And I think the thing that's up for everybody these days is to choose how they want to feel. It's up to you. You're not at the effect of the world. Yes, it's going to influence you, and people in bad moods, nasty people, are going to influence you, but you don't have to feel bad because of them, you know? It's up to you to choose your own vibration. And you know, in each moment, moment by moment by moment, and develop a new habit of staying centered in that vibration.
Ed, thank you very much for that. Those questions, though, those were fantastic questions. We're going to go to another call. Hi, you're on the air.
All right, is that me?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good. This is Mike. Anyway, there's a lot of I drive to work on nights, and I turn you on, and I always pick up show after it gets underway. But oh, some interesting stuff. And speaking of this, with the heart having neurons, they've documented that people who have heart transplants pick up personality traits of the donor heart. Mm-hmm. They start acting, a guy who was reserved and quiet picks up a gregarious guy's heart. He starts becoming more gregarious. So there is a lot of truth to that. And as far as frequency goes, the other caller talking about you don't notice race anymore, and you said about groupings with frequency. I'm thinking about, they'll get so advanced in the future that we'll discriminate because you're not in my frequency group or my frequency range.
I don't think it'll even be conscious. I think it's just natural. Just, you know, it's kind of like seeking your own level. Things just kind of sort themselves out.
Well, speaking about, being intuitive in that, I get only sporadic spurts of that because most of the time we let the world infringe upon us and dull our senses or our inner sense. And one time I was on Bronx Grand Jury, and this guy came in that they arrested. Well, he walked into the room, and I was all the way in the back up on the top. The hairs on the back of my head stood up. My whole body went into the hypo mode, saying this guy is an evil guy.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he turned out to be. But as soon as he entered the room, the whole energy level, I picked up on it, and it was like, intruder alert. I picked up on it. So now,
you know, we're so much more sensitive than we give ourselves credit for.
Yeah.
You know, it's like animals do this all the time.
Oh, yeah. They're smarter than us.
Yeah.
They don't have to go to Harvard. It's P-I-E-R-C-E.
It's P-E-I-R-C-E.
P-E-I-R-C-E and P-E-N-N-E-Y?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to look that up. And some of your other stuff. Too bad I got to run into the salt mines. They do the night shift. So thank
you.
Keep up
the
good work, and I'm gonna research you, and if I ever get my Mac out of the box. But I'm going to... Where can I get your book? On Amazon?
Yes, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, online. They all have
it. We'll do it.
Yeah.
Have a pleasant remainder of your span.
Thank you.
You're good.
Thank you, caller. Really appreciate those questions. Hi, you're on the air with Penny Pierce.
Hi, is it me?
It is. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, it's so wonderful. I can't imagine a better program tonight. I did just what Penny's talking about. I have close people in my family, and they don't understand my vibrations at all.
Yeah.
And I didn't let it bother me.
Mm-hmm.
I did what the last caller said. I sensed that there was no reason to fret. They are family, but we're miles away in intuition and in feeling of the heart.
Yeah.
Some people are not in touch at all with what you just said. They're afraid.
I know. I know. And, you know, we have to just let people be where they are.
Yes.
They'll grow. They'll get it. But you can help them by seeing their soul or seeing into their higher frequency and relating to them that way, but then don't try to change them or fix them, you know?
See, that's really the key, what you just said now. And also what I learned tonight was they can't fix me either. It's
no.
A two-way street. And tonight I said to myself, well, I'm rid of caring too much. Sometimes you can try too hard and you get worn out.
You do.
Because
you do.
As you said, we're all a whole system. Especially what you said about having ever so many other people on our same. I have loads of people I feel I connect with in the universal way you were talking about. Our heart is everything you were saying, and children aren't taught that.
Right.
At least I don't find they are, and they don't seem connected to their heart. They don't.
Well, you know, the thing is, when you're connected in your heart, you have a lot more in common with everyone.
Yes.
If people would do that,
yes,
they'd find a lot of universality and more fun, too.
And you know who you remind me of? The wonderful Jesuit, Pierre Cardin du Chardin.
Oh, yeah, I love his stuff.
And not only that, he was talking about 21 dimensions. So I laugh when people talk about only 11 dimensions. In the 60s, he was foreseeing 21.
Jeez, wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that
well, I have no idea how many there are. There's probably, you know, unlimited,
yeah,
infinite numbers.
He conceived it in such a beautiful way that you knew that there were many more. As you said before, we can gather things from the universe, as you said before, and tune into so many energies. And we're so powerful when we're there. Because, as you said before, you begin vibrating with the other souls. And there's nothing can take you down when you're in that pool.
No, and then the other wonderful thing is that you have access to all their knowledge. So that your memory banks, your pool of knowledge expands exponentially. So if we would do that more, you know, we would all be a lot smarter.
All I can say is thank you for being there. And it's so brilliant what you're talking about.
Oh, thank you.
A plus 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 tonight. It's just all the way. Thank you.
Thank you very much, caller. Really appreciate that. Hi, you're on the air with Penny Pierce.
Hello?
Go ahead, caller.
Yes. I want to ask a question. When I have this kind of intuition, it comes in the form of a dream. So I want to ask how much of this intuition, for me, it has come in the form of a dream, a premonition. How much does she know in terms of when you dream and this can come this way?
Oh, well, I've written two books on dreams. Dreams are one of the ways that I've received most of my guidance.
Me too.
Yeah, dreams and, you know, meditation, which in some ways is like a waking dream, and sometimes even visions during the day when I'm awake. But no, I think dreams are a place where your conscious mind is just kind of relaxed and it's not getting in the way.
Mm.
And you can take a look at what you're doing in the dream, and it's actually, I think, quite literal. We're in different dimensions during the dreams, in lots of different dimensions. And reality functions differently in those different dimensions. There's a different way of experiencing time. There's less separation in time. Everything's more connected. It's fast. And it's symbolic. So we have to definitely learn to work with interpreting symbols, and that means feeling into the symbol to feel what it actually is.
In my dreams, I have dreams that I, years before, I saw I was somewhere else, and I saw these things, and I say, at the time, this is so strange. But then years later, I say, oh, my God, I see this years ago that I was here. I know it because of a dream. I actually wrote it down.
Yes, yes.
So it's not that I go crazy. It's not crazy.
Well, no, out in the dream world, you're much more in a sense of encompassing more time and more space. So the past and the future are in your now moment. And so when you can dream things that seem precognitive or past life memory, but they're in your present moment in the dream state, you know. And I think that's actually what we're headed toward, you know, in real life. is an expanded present moment. We're living more and more in the present moment and accessing more and more. The future's really not out there anymore. It's in the present moment.
Thank you so much.
Changing. You know.
Thank you, caller. We're going to go to another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, is that me?
Go ahead, caller, yes.
Oh, great. Miss Pierce, it's wonderful hearing you.
Thank you.
This other woman really answered my question about how we can really help ourselves and other people and seeing into the soul and don't try to change people. But so that was my question, actually. But I'm actually a sonador, as they would say in South America, which is, I mean, I just use dream work, you know. Mm-hmm. And as far as intuition goes, I mean, scientists have shown that it's not really all that magic. It's input, sensory input that from the second brain that we really don't realize that we're getting.
Yeah.
And the last thing, the key to living in eternity is sincerity.
I think sincerity is a very high state. You know, cheerfulness is a high state, but sincerity is really a wonderful state. When you
I think
really
sincerity
feel it.
Brings cheerfulness, don't you?
There are a lot of high states that we don't think of as high because we think high means all jazzed up, you know, but there are a lot of, like sweetness is a very high state.
Oh, yes.
You know, and...
singing!
What?
Singing.
Singing, yeah. So I think that part of what goes on with dreams and the work in the inner world is that we are becoming this higher frequency kind of being, and that means we're becoming ultra-sensitive more and more and more to, I call it energy information. You know, we're starting to pick up information directly from the field. It doesn't have to be in words. It's coming through in vibration, in patterns, in impressions, and that means that we're all becoming a lot more telepathic. That means if you pray or meditate or bless someone, it moves right directly into them because there's no separation anymore because we're all in the present moment together.
Well, this concept is really, like even in Hinduism, I mean, it's just like the light is the light and we all share the light, part of the big light.
That's it. Yeah.
Wonderful hearing you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller. Penny Pierce, the author of Frequency, the Power of Personal Vibration. She's a lecturer, counselor, trainer, and author of many other books as well. You can find the book, Frequency, on thefrequencybook.com. And her website is Penny Pierce, and that's spelled PENNEYPIERCE.com. Penny, thank you so much for being on Another News.
Jeff. It went by so fast.
It did, yes. A little faster than usual. Really appreciate it. Have a great night.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See you next week, 10 p.m.
And it's a minute past 11. You're tuned to WBAI in New York. You know, the news, of course, came to you live with live phone calls. Jeff will return next week. Coming up in a half hour, a rebroadcast of Monday's news from the WBAI news team at midnight. Night shift with Mike Sargent and all the gang. Jimmy Dore at 2 a.m. But right now, it's time for this evening's edition of Health Action here on WBAI New York.